to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. You're in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're talking about this war in Iran. Again, you know, we're at a fork in the road. And neither road is going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. We've pushed ourselves to this point. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. We got no good options. All the options are bad, in a sense. But, you know, I can't help but, you know, pattern recognition with Somalis, pattern recognition with blacks, pattern recognition with liberal white Karens, pattern recognition about Israel. Oh, that's a non-starter. Oh, really? Okay. I mean, we can continue to play it this way. It just doesn't work in the end. See, and another Christian principle is that contradiction leads to sin. Contradiction leads to sin. There's that which is true, and then there's that which is contra. The amount of lies, the amount of hoops we have to jump through to justify, in not just this war, but just the entire conversation, the entire outlook on Israel from our Christian community is absolutely unacceptable. It's untenable. It's just not true. It's not based in the truth. It's like this. How could this not become a forever war? The only way this doesn't become a forever war is if the Persians really overthrow the mullahs. And President Trump took a shot and you know, maybe we got the Iranians to overthrow their government, which, by the way, is a pretty wild thing to suggest in the first place. I mean, even the hoops you have to jump through there, it's like we're going to go get involved in a conflict a world away on the off chance that the Iranian people are then motivated or encouraged to overthrow a government that they didn't think to overthrow of their own volition. It'd be like if we needed the French to overthrow the British. No, not that we needed the French to win the war, which we did have help from the French to win the Revolutionary War, but that we needed the French to motivate us, to give us the kick in the butt in order to overthrow the British. No. We wanted to overthrow the British. We declared our independence. We were gonna go to the mattresses no matter what. The French just saw an opportunity for themselves to give a kick in the nuts to their British enemies. So we were going to, you know, lob a grenade there in Iran and hope that the Iranian people overthrow the leaders. Okay, now we've pivoted. Now we're going to degrade their military capabilities, and hopefully we can stave off the aggression of Iran for a while longer. But to what end? And whose end is it? Is it our end? Is it our foreign policy? I mean, when you start losing people like Eric Prince, you know, I think it's time we just take a step back and say, hey, let's reel it in. And President Trump has been great at maneuvering like that on a number of occasions. But even the great King David crapped out in the supernatural lottery at some point. And we have to ensure that point does not come in this era of American history, because we need to win more than ever. Now, I just don't see this as a winning position there in Iran or here at home. The evidence is there. I'm going to talk about that on the other side of this brief break, but the evidence is there. And John Cornyn is the signal from the noise. John Cornyn and the Republican establishment in America is the canary in the coal mine. We'll be right back on the other side of a break. Stay tuned. You're watching InfoWars on Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Panopticon AI surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. Guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And these things are consequential for me personally because I'm running for United States Senate. I looked down at Texas, and before the break, I said John Cornyn and the Republican establishment is the canary in the coal mine. $70 million they dumped into that race to help John Cornyn keep his seat and defeat Ken Paxton. Why? Why is it in a time where the economy is so unstable, people are so pressed for cash, certainly the American working class, how is it that $70 million makes its way into a United States Senate race? It's, first of all, it's just an obscene amount of money. Obscene. And the runoff is going to get even crazier. Never forget, in Georgia, between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker, they dumped $250 million into Georgia, only to have to cheat anyway. I mean, the election, and it's an entirely different conversation, but it's kind of connected because the SAVE Act, which should be the number one priority in a rightfully ordered love, rightfully ordered charity, a rightful order of things, that which is most local to us first, God, myself, my family, my local community, and then everything else in concentric circles. Again, back to reference, the great St. Augustine wrote the City of God, Ordo Amoris, Ordo Caritatis, order of love, order of charity. There's a rightful order to both. And our charity has found itself all around the world. Our priorities have found themselves all around the world. And what St. Augustine was saying is the things that are nearest to you, your duties that are nearest to you are more important than some distant causes. Now you argue with that theology. Hey, if you want to argue with St. Augustine, be my guest. You want to argue theology and philosophy with St. Thomas Aquinas, be my guest. Have at it. Proceed. But these things are gravely disordered. The SAVE Act, the security of our elections, the freeing of Tina Peters. Just send the marshals out there and pull her out. What are we, you know, it just troubles me. I'd be remiss not to say it troubles me that a woman of her valor and her age is going to sit there and rot in a jail cell. But we're going to send young men and women to die for Israel. For any other country. Again, it's not about Israel or the Jews. For any other country. It just so happens that our entire foreign policy is centered around one country. And it is. I said this the first time I hosted InfoWars. I said, America doesn't have its own foreign policy. We don't have genuine American foreign policy. Our foreign policy is the foreign policy of the British Empire. It's the foreign policy of Mackinder's land theory. It's the foreign policy of the Eurasian world island theory. It's the foreign policy of the geographical pivot of history. It's the foreign policy of British academics who see Eastern Europe and the heartland as the essential to control of the entire Eastern Hemisphere. Sino-Russo alliance, Russo-German alliance, German totalitarian war machine. Those were the three enemies laid out in Mackinder's theory, and those people, those alliances have become our foreign policy. Why? Because as great as technology has become, as we're seeing there in Iran, being able to walk to the resources you need versus having to fly or sail still makes a difference. There's consequence to the geography. There are ramifications to the geography. A war a world away for Israel, and we have people like Tina Peters sitting in a prison. That's the real crying shame. And if you want to take it down a level, the SAVE Act itself. Arrest these people. Arrest these senators. Arrest John Thune. Arrest John Cornyn. Arrest some of these Supreme Court judges or some of these district judges and 8th Federal Circuit and whatever else. If the situation is really that dire, if our country is hanging on by a thread, if our future rests upon the edge of a blade, so much so that if Israel isn't protected and Iran defeated and decimated, then the very safety of each American citizen hangs in the balance. If we're really at that dire of a place, then we shouldn't spare one resource or one, not a single measure to ensure the security of our elections. If it's that dire. Abe Lincoln did it. Abe Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. So America doesn't even have the stomach to discuss the icons of our own history with a full throat. We don't even have the stomach or the balls to discuss the icons that we hold up in our own history with a full throat. And that shows a degradation of our culture. To a degree that is indicting and dooming. Abe Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. Chief Justice Taney, you got to provide charges or else I'm going to let him out. And as the story goes, Abe Lincoln sent him a message. You let him out of prison. You let him out of jail. I'm going to be arresting you next. And see, he wasn't flipping about it. It wasn't a sort of na-na-na-boo-boo tyrannical power trip. He justified it. He said when they were having the discussions about suspending habeas corpus, his justification was, if I don't do this, the government itself will cease to exist, and that will be me forsaking my duty as the president of the United States, as a leader in this country. The SAVE Act. John Thune, John Cornyn, a United States senator has the right to deny the people, we the people, secure elections, real elections. That's our number one priority. That's the proper order of charity, of love, of politics. I might have to write a new treatise, the order of politics. Ordo Politico, What's the proper order of politics? That which is most local to us. And I know everybody's gum dipped and hung up on globalization and the global dollar empire. But that which is most local to us. The SAVE Act, our own elections. Not just as a political posture or some type of virtue signal, but for a practical and prudent approach to the value of citizenship and the security of our country as a whole. As though our elections are some nonchalant, inconsequential, stolen elections have consequences. Grave consequences. And if President Trump, if nobody else, President Trump is a shining beacon, and our country is a shining beacon that stolen elections have consequences. So there's not a moment to spare. And yet, I still find myself holding my breath, waiting on the SAVE Act. But we can go to war in a country a world away. And I'm supposed to believe that's for our interest? Hey, maybe we completely blow Iran into the afterlife. Maybe we end up passing the SAVE Act. Maybe. Maybe. But see, and when I look at some of these people, some of these rhino establishment Republicans, it's interesting. You know, it's like, what's the connective tissue between them all? It's that, number one, they oppose President Trump. They oppose the ideas, and that's maybe the most important piece to point out. They oppose him on a personal level, but really they oppose the ideas. So John Thune, John Cornyn are on record opposing the ideas. It's not President Trump and his leadership. They oppose the ideas fundamentally. So it's their opposition of President Trump, but when I take a list, when I take an accounting of the list of people from the rhino establishment wing of the Republican Party, they all feel the exact same way about Israel. The exact same way. They're all in lockstep about Israel, about our military-industrial complex, about the geographical pivot of history and our foreign policy not being our own, the defense of Europe, the parasitical NATO agreement that we've had, the World Health Organization, all of it, they're in lockstep on the entire deal. They're Atlanticists, they're globalists, they're sycophants for this academic philosophy, this academic idea of their donors, of their own pockets, of their re-elections and their political action committees. They're lobbyists. They're all in lockstep. I look down the list and do it yourself. Do it yourself. Find one of these rhino Republicans like John Cornyn or John Thune or Mitch McConnell who isn't all in for some war in Iran. Find me one. That's why I'm running for United States Senate, because there aren't a handful of United States senators who are America first. There aren't a handful of America first United States senators in the entire United States Senate. And they fear me like the Black Plague. No pun intended. Nothing to do with the melanin in my skin. They fear me like the Black Plague. One, because they know I can't be bought. But two, I can articulate the issues right down to the fundamental principle. Christian theology, City of God, St. Augustine, Ordo Amoris, Ordo Caritatis, the order of love, the order of charity. The first order is that which is most local to you, expanding out in concentric circles, never sacrificing distant causes from the near duties. Principle. If Israel is more important than America, just say it. If Israel, if our strategic military position and footprint, if the United States military itself, whether it be inventory or the basis or whatever the justification is for unlimited, unfettered debt ceiling expansion, whatever it is, if whatever it is more important, just come out and say it. Because whether you say it or not, that's the feeling a lot of American citizens are getting. And I discount the people on the far left. Because I know they don't even care about this country. And that's the pickle we find ourselves in as well. Let's stop pretending there's this 50-50 split or this 60-40 split that's going to wax and wane, ebb and flow during every election cycle. That's not the truth. That's not the reality. The reality is there's about 20% of the people in this country who really have a proper order of love and charity, a proper orientation of things. And the other 80%, they just blow with the wind. Whichever way the wind blows on that day, they'll go. That's why, and you know, Nick says a lot of things that are true and need to be said. Nick Fuentes says a lot of things that are true and need to be said. Anybody who denies that, they're not being honest. Says a lot of things that are true and need to be said, but I could never vote for a Democrat again, ever. It's over. That's not a path. That's not a viable path on sacred honor. It's a viable path if you want to play fast and loose with the principle, with the morals and the ethics. But if you want to draw a hard line in the sand morally and ethically, righteously, in alignment with the Christian faith, we can never vote with the Democrats again, and that's a daunting position. It's a dark and daunting position that people can't really deal with. We're showing it. How could I join hands or vote for a party that openly mocks Christ? Not only that, they prop up and promote Satanists. They theatrically display demonic possession. Can't vote with Satanists and communists. Can't vote with transgender jihadists. Can't vote for a Mamdani or an AOC. No matter what the situation is, that leaves us one alternative. Like it or not, it's the only one. The only alternative is to stand and fight within this Republican Party. As much as I dislike John Thune, as much as I dislike John Cornyn, as much as I dislike Mitch McConnell, as much as I dislike Steve Daines and Tim Scott, as much as I go right on down the list of special interests and lobby compromised U.S. senators, the last bastion of the deep state where all the vertical donors come to get their pecker wet, as much as I despise these people, they were elected by the people, or they were selected. But the bottom line is, if the narrative starts to tilt away and say, I mean, look what happened to Dan Crenshaw. Out of there. See ya. Look at this race in Texas. On one side, you say, who in the world is voting for John Cornyn? On the other side, you say, look at how the grassroots is starting to take Texas by the gishkis. A little Hebrew for you all there at home. Little Jewish lingo there. Look at how the grassroots MAGA movement is starting to take Texas. Look at here in Minnesota. You know how bad they wanted to endorse and nominate Joe Schmo, he, him pronouns in my LinkedIn bio, Frazier? The Wells Fargo banking data analyst who served 20 years in the armed forces, once in Iraq, once in Afghanistan. I mean, he had the perfect prototype profile to waltz into an endorsement or a nomination of a place like Minnesota. And they're trying to do it again. They got a guy named Adam Schwarzy. Adam, I was the co-chair for Nikki Haley's presidential campaign, Schwarzy. My girlfriend made me do it. My girlfriend made me go to the Nikki Haley fundraiser. That's why I donated $2,000 to her in the last cycle. My girlfriend made me do it. No, your girlfriend didn't make you do it. Dude, stop. And if she did, that's disqualifying in and of itself, because my girlfriend's never made me do a damn thing. We may fight. We may disagree. We may come to a middle ground, but she never made me do anything. That's an indictment of your character, especially as a former military man, especially in this nation's darkest hour. Your political instincts were to play politics and join on to the Nikki Haley bus if it was going to pay dividends in the future. Her political instincts were to say, we could never win a general election with this type of toxic masculinity that President Donald J. Trump shows. Those were her instincts. You know how bad they wanted Joe Frazier and now Adam Schwarzy to get the endorsement and the nomination in Minnesota, and all that stands in our favor is that people show up in a small convention assembly in the middle of May to say America first versus everything else. The MAGA movement versus everything else. And that's how politics is done in this country. And I have to say to you, with full transparency and in love, politics is decided by the people who show up, which is why the slogan of my last campaign was the people are coming. And you know what? They're coming. They're coming. But this better be a watershed moment. You can't resign out of the process now. We're just getting started. We spent 30, 40 years in a boomer coma politically. The day they shot John F. Kennedy in the head is the day the boomer generation went to sleep out of fear. The message was clear. You push too far, you get your head blown off. You might as well take the cash. We've been in a boomer coma ever since. President Trump came down the escalator. We're back in the game. And we want to quit already, 10 years in? It's a sign of softness. Let's just have the confrontation. Like I said, everything President Trump has done up until now has been spotless. I shouldn't say spotless, because there's spots on everything. But it's been great. The border, the crime, the economy, the tariffs, all of it. All of it's good, in the right direction. Moving people toward the principle. Moving in the right direction. This war, uh-uh. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no. Boots on the ground. I don't care how much uranium they have in Iran. Let the IDF go in there. And why do they need us? This is one of the most decorated military forces in the entire world, allegedly. Why do they need our troops to land boots on the ground to go get these you know, uranium facilities? Or are we afraid that the Israelis are going to commandeer it for themselves and make more nuclear weapons? We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
About to embark on a great adventure.
President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission.
Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort.
All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew. And our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle stations, brace for impact.
Of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. every Sunday night. I'm so thankful to Alex Jones and the InfoWars team for having me on a consistent basis. Lord knows I would never find myself on Fox News these days. Another good example of what we've been talking about over the course of the two-hour show here this evening. I can recognize pattern. I can recognize pattern with the fraud here in Minnesota, with the Somali community. I can recognize pattern in my own neighborhood I grew up in with black people and crime. I can recognize a pattern with liberal white Karens and their double standards about racism. I can recognize patterns all across the board. And we get to Israel and everybody says, oh, there's no pattern. No, if you say there's a pattern, it's anti-Semitism. If you say there's a pattern to our foreign policy and our engagement with any of these conflicts, it's anti-Semitism. You just hate Jews. The reason they never bring me on to any of these mainstream shows, one, I can articulate the issues, and I can articulate the history, and they're deathly afraid of that because, you know, we're just going to, as AI starts to kick up and more people are putting more editorials online than ever before, they'll just rewrite the history. They'll just, you know, they'll just change. They'll just amend the history or maybe erase the history altogether as they see fit, when they see fit. But the reason they don't really want to cross swords is because one of my best friends, a mentor, a man that I consider family, and maybe I'll bring him on the show next Sunday, the great Professor Penn, is a Ukrainian Jew himself. And his views on the deal are way more radical than mine. To the right, way more radical than mine. See, and they want to, and this is the interesting thing about media and what Alex Jones has described as the Hegelian dialectics that have been waged on us. The interesting thing is, while it's okay to recognize patterns, the danger does become that we start to view people in a monolithic way, or we start to discuss or talk about people in a monolithic way. We lose sight of the fact that there's not a consensus in Israel about this issue. There's more of a consensus about this issue in the Christian Zionist American culture than there is in Israel itself. I've actually watched them call my Ukrainian Jewish friend anti-Semitic because he has disagreement with this foreign policy. He's not a leftist. He's not one of these leftist Jewish professors. No. He's an America Firster. In fact, they say he's too America First inside the Minnesota Republican Party. Why? That's what I'm getting at here, the connective tissue. We can't keep dancing around this. We just can't. I don't need Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, or Nick Fuentes to tell me what I can see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears, the pattern recognition. We can have pattern recognition around every other issue, except when we get to Israel, then it's anti-Semitic. It's an insult to our intelligence. It's an insult to your own intelligence. It's an insult to the one true living God and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It's an insult because it lacks truth. Fundamentally, it's not true. It's a concession to a communist and leftist way of doing things, that the end justifies the means. And if we have to lie, we'll lie. There is no righteous cause where if we have to lie, we'll lie comes out good on the other side. And this is one of the heresies of becoming an empire based on military-industrial complex, because one of the fundamental modes of war is who can deceive the other person the best. And when you do that, at least when you give over to that at a cultural, at a sort of a foundational cultural level, when you give over to the inherent deception of war, you lose a piece of yourself. That's why our military men and women come home and they are broken and beaten. Because an inherent quality of war itself is the art of deception. So people start to lose themselves when they have to live like that. We've done it here in this country, collectively, as a culture. But war is sort of a hyper steroid version of that modality. That is the core reason, the best reason, the best justification to be cautious when venturing into the fog of war, if for nothing else, because there's a spiritual cost, especially when the current standard of war is the art of deception. Who, by the way, I mean, let's just do an accounting of the history. Two of the great military philosophers, two of the great war philosophers or governance philosophers in human history, Machiavelli, Sun Tzu. Think about what those two are heralded for, and then really think about the substance of their work. And what it calls for: governance, dominance by deception. And we accept it. Why? Because it shows results. It's shown to have worked. But worked to what degree? At what level of analysis? We became a global military-industrial complex empire, and look what happened to our country. And it took President Trump to come down the escalator and for the first time in decades and generations of American politics say, maybe these wars weren't such a good idea. Maybe Iraq wasn't such a good idea. You couldn't even say it and hope to have any legitimate chance in politics before President Trump. We crossed that Rubicon. We crossed that gap in our culture, in our history. We crossed that Rubicon. Now we've come to one of our own. You can't even say, hey, I'm recognizing a pattern here with Israel in the Middle East. What makes it odd is it's the same people who President Trump decried when he came down the escalator. It's the reason we all love him. I can't tell you how many times I've rewatched President Trump smack Jeb Bush in the mouth during their presidential debate. I mean, the joy. And I wasn't even a huge President Trump fan at the time. But I still got a great joy out of that. I go back and watch it all the time to remind myself where this MAGA movement came from, where it got its origins, what the appeal actually was. And I think a lot of the MAGA movement has even forgotten that. When I say the McConnell cartel or the Bush junta, people kind of glaze over. When I say in 2012, you know, we put up a milquetoast moderate Republican like Mitt Romney against the most progressive president in our nation's history. It was a grave indictment of the Republican Party. When I say we're headed for another Mitt Romney moment, people kind of glaze over. We're not European. We're not Israeli. We're not global citizens. You know, we're not cosmopolitan, world-traveling omnisexuals. We're American citizens. And as American citizens, we would be wise to remember the order of charity. The order of love. And I bring it all the way back from the first segment tonight. The great Saint Augustine wrote so eloquently in The City of God, a brief and true description of virtue. A brief and true description of virtue is rightly ordered love. Rightly ordered love. Which means we can love Israel, but it has to be rightly ordered. We could love Europe, but it has to be rightly ordered. In concentric circles, expanding outward from God. God first, then ourselves, then our family and our loved ones, then our immediate communities and neighborhoods. That would expand to a state, that would expand to our nation. And then everything else after that, in concentric circles. And with all that being said, I hope we win the war. I hope we kick these Iranians right in the nuts. Can you handle that duality? Can you even handle that? I hope we win. I hope I wake up tomorrow and, you know, there's some great tactic we've pulled off where it's like, yep, this is over. The mullahs are calling uncle. They're done. They want to strike a deal. It's all over. I won't be holding my breath. I won't be holding my breath. We hope for the best. We prepare for the worst. The worst case scenario is this is a herald of a moment. A Mitt Romney moment, a crisis moment in the MAGA movement, in the 2026 election cycle, on the road to 2028, where AOC and whoever else is already primed up, this is one of those moments that's going to define us. And if we're not going to win, if we're not going to win quick in a decisive fashion, this will be another thing added to the list that will be used against us, weaponized against us, to take this country back. In the most immediate way, it's become a distraction from the SAVE Act, which is by far the most important issue we should be prioritizing right here at home in a properly ordered love, charity, and politics. If we plan to kick these people in the nuts as we leave the Eurasian landmass, pivot to hemispheric strategy and a hemispheric defense, I got no problem with it. I got no problem with it. They no love lost because they have no love for us. We know that. They could do all of the, you know, the happy talk online or at the summits, the international summits or meetings or peace talks or whatever the case may be. We know these people don't have any love for us here in America. And this, again, just like the Ronald Reagan 80-20 rule, and I know, you know, the audacity of me to try and slay one of these sacred cows. But just like the 80-20 Ronald Reagan rule, you know, this my enemy of my enemy is my friend idea runs dry at some point as well. And before you know it, you look up and you're surrounded by enemies. That's been us there in the Middle East. We've been on every side of the deal, every side of the trade. Look what happened. You know, we hit Iran. Israel hits Iran. Iran hits all of their Arab neighbors. And their Arab neighbors throw their hands up like, what you shooting at us for? And Iran sitting there laughing going, what do you mean? You thought those U.S. bases or those U.S. points, strategic targets in your country were going to be off limits? This is war. There are no rules. We don't care if you're Arab or Muslim or anything else. As long as you house those American bases, those U.S. bases, you're with the enemy, the great Satan. Of course we're going to hit your country too. That's what happens when you get into that Darwinian, you know, fog of war. There are no rules. And I can't stand people who are coming online now going, oh, the Iranians are attacking the Arab states too. Yeah, of course they are. Our bases are there. I mean, come on, stop it. Don't insult my intelligence. Let's just say we're just going to blow them away because we can, because we want to, because we think it's a good time to. I don't need a BS explanation. Maybe the rest of the American people do. I just find it as insulting. Maybe I'm paying too close attention. It's ridiculous to say that Iran is wrong for bombing those other Arab nations. We attacked them, even if you say that we're right to do it. Even if you say this is a war we need to fight. Don't try and double down by telling me they're wrong for attacking neighboring Arab states that have U.S. military bases. That's just dumb. It's the same way we had the conversation about Ukraine and Russia. Don't tell me Russia shot first. Because in America, I don't have to wait for you to shoot me or shoot at me to defend myself and kill you. If you say I'm going to kill you, if you say I'm going to kill you with a knife, if you pull a gun and you have it pointed down at your side, but you say I'm going to kill you with this gun, I have a right to kill you before you have any type of do any type of bodily harm or cause any assault on me whatsoever, carry out any assault on me whatsoever. That's fundamental to the way we view citizenship and inherent human rights here in America. So it applies to everybody else. If we say we're going to trample those rights because, you know, only the strong survive, I understand that. And there's a lot of truth to that. But what about the principle? Just don't insult my intelligence on the principle. Just tell me that there's a double standard. The rules are different. Cool. Fine. When you get into the fog of war, there are no rules. So we don't even have to talk about the rules anymore. But don't snowflake and go, oh, the Ukrainians were invaded by Russia. Really? Really? Let Russia or China come put some short-range ballistic missiles there on the Guadalajara border, and we would be right to blow them off the face of the earth. And if I was president of the United States, we'd be hitting Beijing and we'd be hitting Moscow the day that they try to put one batch of short-range ballistic missiles on the Guadalajara border. It's the way things are. Just don't lie. Just don't lie to us about it. It's obnoxious. It's obnoxious. It's unappealing. I'd much rather people just say, hey, we're going to roll this thing all the way to Beijing. It's on. It's going down right now. People may not want that. And the American people may say, hey, wait a second. Despite the woes of the economy, our 401ks are looking great. Don't you see all these beautiful granite countertops in our apartments? We just got AI. We're smarter than ever with more information. The money's for free and the chicks are for nothing, as they used to say back in the day. OnlyFans, look, I look up and see Minneapolis has a top five, I think, top five or top ten OnlyFans usage. It seems a plumb line uniparty state like Minnesota has some other interests other than politics, other than the value of their citizenship. You understand what I'm saying? If we were going to roll this thing all the way to the front door of Beijing and the American people said, oh, we have no appetite for war whatsoever because our lives are too good, it's too comfortable. I get that. I understand the dynamic. I'm just different. I'm just like, give it to me straight. Give it to me real. Give it to me raw. Give it to me like it is. Are we going to have it out with China right now? Maybe we should. Maybe it's incumbent upon us to go to full-blown kinetic war with the CCP right now because the AI arms race that we are now in is even more dangerous than the war we have right there in the Middle East. The implications of artificial intelligence and the artificial intelligence, the AI arms race that has now began carries way more danger than the war there in the Middle East. Tenfold, 100-fold. So maybe it is that we have to roll this all the way up to the front door of Beijing. You want to talk about a national threat? You want to talk about our national, vital national interest? Hell, why don't we just send the B-2 bombers to go hit Beijing? Because surely, if we keep heading in the direction we're headed now, the AI thing is going to inevitably spiral out of control. Because, and the justification will be, we're in an arms race with China. I hear it all the time. I go, we should have a full, if there is one global summit and peace treaty, if there's one global treaty left, if there's a single global treaty left to even consider getting involved in, it's about the safeguards on artificial intelligence. And we've had such a bad experience with international or global treaties, I hesitate to even say that. But if there's one left to consider, it should be a treaty about artificial intelligence. Do you hear that being a priority? Is anybody making that a priority out there? No, we're hearing how AI is going to grow and develop and continue to, you know, scale. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great for people. You know, saw an ad the other day. Who knows if this is AI or not? But, you know, the first human clinical trials of reversing aging are going to, oh, now we're going to live forever. Great. Fantastic. Hey, I love looking in the mirror. I'm pretty handsome. I'd love to stay this age for 250 years. I think it'd be great for humanity. No, it wouldn't. That is a level of arrogance and heresy that is almost unquantifiable. It really is. Let's just live forever. No, what an anti-Christian thing to even think. No, right. Death is unnatural. There's no doubt about it. Human beings were never meant to die. We meet an untimely death. We meet an unnatural end because of our fallen nature. And the moment you stop believing in that, it's no wonder you have a disoriented a Christian faith. It's no wonder your Christian identity is disordered. Like I said, we have a polarity in America where on one side you have transgender jihadists and on the other side you have Christians who are more loyal to Israel than they are to Jesus Christ. And you cannot vote for me. You can try and kick me out of the Republican Party. You can try and make me persona non grata. It's not going to change the truth. And that's the Christian in me talking. You can crucify us, but it will not change the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is God's one and only begotten Son, a part of a holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people who mock that, the people who openly reject that, the people who disrespect that, I hold no quarter for you people. You don't have to believe, but you cross over into the disrespect, and now we got a problem. Like hanging a transgender flag three times the size of a cross on the outside of a church. Heresy. Heresy. Israel can take the entire greater Israel footprint. Doesn't much matter to me. The question is, what are our priorities? It's a cautionary tale. We're at a pivotal moment again, and there are going to be a bunch more pivotal moments between now and whatever fate we, whatever fate befalls us. There's going to be a lot of pivotal moments before it's all said and done. Let's hope we can get this one right. Like I said, if I wake up tomorrow and we've won the war, great. Still my opinion that the proper order of charity and love in politics, like the great Saint Augustine once said, Ordo Amoris, Ordo Caritatis, a brief and true definition of virtue is rightly ordered love. There's a proper order to things. And right now, the order is America first. God bless you all. Godspeed. God bless America. God bless our president, all of our men and women who are in harm's way. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central. Free People Radio on X. We'll have the live stream, and you can join us and talk there. Good night. See you next time.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring or in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.